And welcome to Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, Public Affairs Specialist for the Social Security Administration, Edward Lafferty. Edward, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
We're going to be talking about Social Security today, and here's a fun thing that I never really thought about before. It's the ridiculous wealth of information that the Social Security has at its fingertips as far as your snapshot of who we are as a nation.
Yes, exactly. In fact, anyone who goes on to socialsecurity.gov, which is our website, and some people use ssa.gov, can find information about the history of Social Security as well as current information such as retirement benefits, disability benefits, survivor benefits, and it gives a wide range of information. And because you just brought this up, baby names, for example, just came out recently, the most popular baby names in the country. Social Security obviously takes Social Security numbers, so we know who... whose names are being used and applied for.
I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I did not get my card when I was a baby. You did it when you were, I think, in civics class. It was your first project. And in civics, you registered for your Social Security card. But today now, of course, you do it at birth. So now you've got all this information, and it's kind of cool.
Yes. In fact, well, I'll ask, you know who the most popular baby names are, I'm sure, nationally?
Oh, I'm going to guess Charlotte, because there's a Charlotte in my family.
Oh, well, that's always good to start with the family. It's actually Noah and Emma. What's interesting, however, is that different states have some, in terms of different popularity, certain names are much more popular. In Pennsylvania, Noah and Emma are still the most popular. But if you look at other names, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, oftentimes states, they'll kind of have a little bit of a difference. Or in some states, the first one is not Noah. It might be Liam, for example, or Ava, or Libby. The point is that it really gives a snapshot of what names affect people, because it also represents, why are people naming children this? There aren't a lot of people being named Gertrude, or there are still people being named Edward, by the way. I do want to mention that. I want to put a plug in for Edward.
But wow, if I'm a new parent or a parent to be, I think the first thing I would do now is go to socialsecurity.gov and look at the popular baby names.
Yes. And in fact, because you brought that up. Oh, yes. Well, what's really helpful about the baby names there, now, I should take two steps back. The reason we do the baby names is to get people to go to the website, obviously. But also, when you go on to the website that shows all of the baby names, all of the information, there's a lot of information for moms and dads, from questions about survivor benefits, disabled children, disability benefits for individuals, for Social Security number, and so forth. But what you can do when you go on our website is look at not only the most popular baby names now, but you can go back by decade. So what were the most popular baby names in the 1940s, 1960s, 1980s? It really does give you a nice range of names, and you can see the changes, as you say, a snapshot by name throughout the country.
And what was the most popular television show of any generation, apparently, too?
Oh, well, that's a great point, because people do name their children after someone who's well-known or famous. We can go back a little bit. I'm doing a plug for Edward now. The Twilight series a little while ago, in which Edward was a very popular name, and you could see an uptick.
So a sociologist or someone studying pop culture, this is a wealth of information. But then it's also interesting because you also know the age we're retiring now, or how many people are disabled each year, or how many children are needing benefits.
Exactly. We have fact sheets. And one of the things that is very useful about the Social Security Internet system, in the past, someone would apply for benefits and would ask a question, well, how many workers are there? How many people are on disability? Or more important to the specific individual, I'm applying for benefits. Why are you asking me these questions? Why do I need to do this? Are those numbers right? You can go on our website, look at our program rules, look at the number of people who are on. It's very transparent. Also, to apply for any kind of benefit, it's all on our system, so you can follow it. There are prompts, step by step, allowing you to see exactly why we do what we do, so that when someone does apply for a benefit or looks for information, they're not in a quandary. They're not wondering, what am I supposed to do? It's all there.
It does kind of make it human, more facile for those of us who are afraid of big forms and stuff.
Well, it's more customizable. It's more accessible. And after all, when you use our website, because it is transparent, you're a partner. This is a human program, incredibly large. Do you know how many people are on Social Security?
I looked at the facts, but no, I don't remember. I don't remember.
It's around 61 million people. One out of every six people in the United States receives a benefit from Social Security. It's enormously complicated and enormously effective and enormously efficient, but it also has an enormous impact on the economy because you are talking about one out of every six individuals. And so all the those individuals applying, all of those people's applications being processed, all of the issues or problems that might accrue later on, that's what the Social Security Administration handles. And so it's really good to have the information out so that people can see it, can understand why we do what we do.
Well, speaking of facts, though, one thing that did stick in my mind was that in 40, if you were 65, you got to live maybe another 14 years on average. But today, if you're 65, you're expected at least 20 years. Is that correct?
Yes, on average. Now, again, you have to break that out by gender. Women live longer than men. And as an aside, for what we would call elderly, older beneficiaries, people receiving Social Security, widows, widowers, and so forth, women are a much higher percentage of that because women do live longer. So you can actually follow that. One of the things about Social Security is, and you brought up a great point, it gives you a snapshot not only of the economics of the amounts being paid out, but sociological aspects to it because the gender issue coming in, there are issues in terms of how many people actually depend upon Social Security. One statistic that comes out is that probably 20, 30, 40% of married couples, probably around 40, depend upon Social Security for at least 50% their income. What is also alarming is that about 21% actually depend upon Social Security for 90% of their income, which is very disturbing because Social Security really was never made or intended to be the only income.
And yet we were never encouraged to save and plan for our futures.
And the Social Security now, if you go on our website, you'll see references, hints, indications where we keep saying financial planning, financial literacy, incredibly important. Social Security is a piece, retirement, disability survivors, but it isn't the only thing. And so Social Security has worked very hard recently to get that message out. Social Security is important. People do depend upon it, but it shouldn't be the only income to depend upon.
You just alluded to financial literacy. And unfortunately, most people don't even think to look at Social Security until they're within striking distance. Is that unfortunately the case?
Yes. You and I have talked about this before, the need for everyone to create a My Social Security account. And if you go on our website, you can follow the prompts. Previously, Social Security would send out a paper statement, do a breakout of your earnings, tell you how much you would receive if you retire, if you became disabled, if you die, what your dependents receive. They no longer do that for people under 60. So you really need a digital form. But even for people over 60, once you're on Social Security, you should be creating an account also. It allows a range of things. But the most important point for people who are not on Social Security yet is to look at that earnings record and to make sure, no matter how young you are, so if you're 25, if you're 35, if you're 40, look at that, because after all, it is your tax money at work. I'm your tax money at work. And because you did pay the money, you should know where it goes.
When someone sets this up, okay, so let's walk through carefully again the My Social Security account. What do you do? How do you start this sucker up?
Okay. We don't really refer to it as that, but okay. Yes. When you actually get on our website, socialsecurity.gov, it's actually on the first page. It's called My Social Security. You click that, you follow the prompts. What you're going to do is give your name, address, Social Security number, your email address, and then we start asking some what are called out-of-wallet questions, security questions that only you should know. At that point, if it's approved, then you create a username and password. And we are weary of hearing about ID theft because we know it's a constant issue. So on June the 10th, this is why it's so good that I'm here now, June the 10th, Social Security added another layer of security. You'll hear it called multi-factor authentication, which I cannot say five times in a row, easily. But what it means is you have a username, you have a password. When you log on, Social Security will send to you on your text, your cell phone, or email you a specific security code that will go directly to you so someone else can't access your system. Or if they try to, we're going out letting you know someone else is doing it. So it really is a piece of security. And you do that, and then once you're finished, from then on, all you have, you do this all the time, username, password, you get a code, and you can look at your Social Security record. You can't change it. It's what's there. But you really should verify it all the time. And when I say all the time, once a year. And by the way, in case you forget, I always forget these dates that are important, Social Security will send you a little bit of a nudge, an email, 2 to 3 months before your birthday, saying, have you looked at your Social Security recently?
Now, what are we supposed to be looking for? When you say look at our Social Security, what should we be looking at when we go to that?
You want to look at the earnings record, the amounts on which you've paid Social Security tax, because it gives you every single year, all the way to the first day you started working and paying Social Security taxes. The reason you want to look at that is, frankly, all of the formulas. We're very glib about signing up for retirement benefits, disability benefits, survivor benefits. But the reality is those are all dependent on your work. Social Security is about taxation of your work. Are the numbers correct? So you want to look at last year's W-2 to see if it's correct. In my case, because I'm older now, asking me what did you make in 1991 might be a bit of a challenge. That's why you want to do it as early as possible. The younger you are, the sooner you start, the better handle you have. It's due diligence. It only takes you 30 seconds to look, but you want to make sure that it's there.
But as you are looking, you are also seeing what you are accruing towards your ultimate retirement age.
Yes, because when you go on, the digital format also gives you links to other things, along with telling you about disability and retirement and survivor benefits. How much did you pay in Medicare taxes? There are links to other issues. Do you have questions about retirement? Do you have questions about how is your retirement benefit is figured? When is the best time to start? So it's a really excellent portal, a good starting point, and you can always go back to it. What is also nice is that once you've created a My Social Security account, you can always print it, save it. You can look at it at any time. The paper statement comes out once a year, but things might have changed. This is a case where you can actually use this My Social Security account, and not only prior to when you apply for benefits, but once you're on, you can create a My Social Security account and now get a Medicare replacement card, change your direct deposit address. And one other thing, the reason for really having people sign up now for their My Social Security, in addition to your Social Security statement of earnings, is that now you can get a replacement Social Security card online. Now, it's a replacement. You have to be 18 or older. You're living in the United States, have one of our addresses. You have to have a driver's license or a state identification, and it has to be replacement. In other words, if you were married recently and wanted to correct it, you still need to go through the old procedures. But for a lot of people, those of us who have erroneously put our Social Security card in the wash and it never came out the way it went in, you can get a replacement card. You never have to visit an office. And so not all states have it. Pennsylvania does. Delaware just started. So if you're in Delaware, very simple, create an account. You get a replacement Social Security card. Other states, such as New Jersey, are down the line. They're phasing this in. So not all states have it yet, but they will eventually.
It's amazing how many times you are asked for your Social Security card today.
Yes. And that is one of the issues is the Social Security card was created for one thing, work. So a new employer. Anywhere else, really, that's between you and whatever entity is requesting it. But it is at this moment one of those numbers everyone uses. And again, I go back to the identity theft. That's why it's so important. Create the account. If you see different earnings on there that shouldn't be yours, perhaps someone is actually using your number. It's, again, due diligence, that extra security you want to take advantage of.
So it actually can be an indirect indication that there's fraud going on that you might not have been aware of.
Exactly. Just as you would go to any of the credit agencies to see is somebody using credit card, you want to see is somebody using your number. And the way you would tell if they're working, and they're using your Social Security number, it's being posted to our system. So the numbers wouldn't be the same that you're familiar with.
Well, good grief. This is Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, the Public Affairs Specialist for the Social Security Administration, Edward Lafferty. If you'd like more information about what we're talking about today, go to socialsecurity.gov. Remember, that's .gov. Socialsecurity.gov for short if you're intimate with it, SSA.gov. So, you mentioned things like, retirement. We always think about Social Security for retirement, but now how do we think about it in terms of, unfortunately, potential future disability or survivor or dependence, et cetera? When does that crop up, and is it something that we have to consider, or is it something that you are doing for us automatically?
We do it automatically. When you pay your Social Security taxes, it goes into what are called trust funds. One is a retirement survivor's insurance trust fund, and one is into a disability insurance trust fund. So that is automatic. The reason it's important is about one out of every four 20-year-olds today will become disabled prior to age 67. And in fact, about 65-67% of individuals don't have disability insurance in the first place. So the disability insurance from Social Security is one of the few lifelines at times that one has. Social Security automatically apportions the amounts, but you should be aware of the criteria because there are stringent requirements for disability. You should know about those, and you should know about survivor benefits. One of the points about the baby names, I'm referring back to when we were discussing having mom and dad look, is what if you die early? What happens to your children? There are children's benefits, and there are widows and widowers' benefits, surviving divorced spouses' benefits. There are a range of family benefits throughout Social Security, and so it's really in someone's interest to look at it. I know that for most of us, and in fact, it is true that most of the people on Social Security are retirees, but the number of people who are on disability, we have almost 9 million people who are on disability, and they have almost 2 million dependents on their record, basically 11 million people being paid for disability or because they're the family, they're dependents on someone who's disabled. You have 6 million widows and widowers and children who are receiving because a parent has died. So it really is in someone's interest to go to the website and look through these programs. One, because you are funding them, and two, unfortunately, we don't all live a perfect life in which no one ever gets ill and no one ever dies. One out of eight of the 20-year-olds living today will die before age 67. So it really is important to be aware of the programs.
And these are all benefits that you have to claim. They do not come automatically to you.
That is correct. There are no milk cartons with our pictures on it saying you are now 62. Are you filing for retirement? Or if you become disabled, and obviously dependents applying on your account number if you die. It really is important to be aware of them. Because basically, if you prepare ahead of time, you brought up before financial literacy. Well, it's always financial planning. And financial planning should include what would you receive from Social Security if you were to become disabled? What does your family receive? If you die, what does your family, what are the options? And that's, once again, creating that My Social Security account, because when you go on there, you'll see those dollar amounts. And I should mention, the amounts change every year because based on your own earnings. How much are you earning? How long have you been working? So understanding the program or these programs really ensures a piece of the financial literacy. Not everything, but a piece of it.
Now, what does the effect of work have on retirement funds? Do you need to make more money at the very end? Is it based on a median earnings? What happens if you retire and you go back to work?
It's a good question, because the first thing, and most people are not aware of this, many people I should say, Social Security uses for retirement benefits the highest 35 years of your earnings. Not the high 3 or the high 5 or the high 10. So if you have, in those 35 years, 0 years or very low earnings, it can have an impact on your monthly benefit. On the other hand, I'm not sure, are you going to work till you're 100? I mean, you know, if you were going to work beyond retirement age and your earnings were high enough each year, one of those years to replace a prior year of the 35, your benefit could go up. On the other hand, let's assume you stayed home to raise the kids, or you were unemployed for a number of years. It might be the case that now you had 20 years of substantial earnings, but you had 15 years in which you raised the children. You didn't pay into Social Security. Social Security is still using 35 years. They're using 20 years of your work history and 15 zero years. And so this is why you'll always hear people say, it's always good to be working and paying into Social Security at least. The other issue is, it's important to be aware that once you are full retirement age, and full retirement age is the age at which an individual's amount from Social Security is not reduced. This is a circular argument. People born 55, your full retirement age is 66 and 2 months. You can still go on at 62, but it's increasing until, and it will go up incrementally, 2 years, 2 months for each year until anyone born 1960 or later, such as yourself, you would basically have a full retirement age amount of age 67.
Oh, sorry.
Good news. You may still file as early as 62, but the full unreduced amount would be for someone born 60 and later is 67.
But now most people do work now past their retirement age. Can you still work full time and take benefits, or work part time and after you get onto full benefits?
This comes up again and again. If you are under full retirement age, so let's assume you apply for benefits at age 62, 63, and 64, there are limits on how much you can earn. Now, we're talking actual earnings, either working for yourself or someone else. No IRAs, 401ks, pensions don't count. But if you wanted to work, there are limits on how much you can earn and still receive all of your Social Security benefits. The good news is, when you attain your full retirement age, and it doesn't matter whether you applied at 62 or you waited till your full retirement age, then you can go out and become Warren Buffett, and Social Security will still pay you your monthly benefit.
And he draws Social Security.
Yes.
I love that about
yes.
him.
Well, this is what makes it an entitlement program. You've earned enough credits. You've paid into the system. The only reason you would not apply for Social Security benefits and at full retirement age is there are what are called delayed retirement credits. That is, if you waited until age 70, you would get an additional benefit. It goes up 8% a year. So let's assume your full retirement age is 67. If you wait till 70 to apply for retirement benefits, you get a 24% increase, which is a nice add-on. So you have from age 62 to 70, there are a range of months because we do it monthly, frankly. And so when you want to file for retirement, it has a lot to do with longevity, funding streams, what's your health. And for many people, they apply early because they don't have a job. Or they're taking the money and run. But for others, they're going to wait as long as they can.
Well, you make it sound very easy when you're explaining it like this. But when we go to socialsecurity.gov, is it as word friendly? I mean, it's not in legalese.
No, it isn't. And in fact, one of the good things about the website is that it covers a range of these issues in far more detail. In some cases, we're almost overlinked. There are links to everything. But if you go on to apply, there are other ones. Do you know when to start receiving retirement? Have you thought about Medicare? Have you done this? So very accessible. The prompts are very simple. And in fact, about 60% of the population applies for retirement online. It's that simple. It isn't for everyone. Not everyone wants to do it online or can, for example. I mean, not everyone has access. But for those who can, it takes 20 minutes and you're finished.
And of course, there are still offices.
Oh, definitely. We say 2 to 3 months before you want to receive a benefit, you apply for retirement. You can do it online. You can do it by phone, or you can do it in an office. In our area, I happen as a public affairs specialist, represent 18 offices in southeastern Pennsylvania. The one thing, though, to be aware of is please make an appointment, whether in the office. And the reason for it is you probably have heard of the famous baby boom generation, in which 10,000, 12,000 people are applying, and down the road, one out of every five people will be on Social Security. All of those people have made appointments, so you want to make sure that you have an appointment. not just show up at an office.
And of course, you get the phone numbers, you get all the information about those on the website.
Yes.
Now, okay, fun fact as we are wrapping up today. Okay, we're talking about the history of Social Security. Well, actually, we didn't really talk about the history of Social Security. So who got the first benefit?
The first monthly benefit.
Uh-oh, qualifiers.
Yes, there's a qualifier here. The first monthly benefit went to a woman teacher in Vermont, Ida Mae Fuller, who was a classmate of all people, Calvin Coolidge, president of the United States. And she worked for the law firm for a brief period of time. She was a legal secretary. She all actually received the first benefit in January 1940 in the incredible sum of $22.54.
That was a good sum in 1940.
Yes. And Ida Mae Fuller continued to receive a benefit all the way. She lived beyond 100. So for over 30 years, Ida Mae, for paying a very small amount, I mean, remember, the Social Security Act was signed in 1935. A couple years later, they were starting to pay taxes. So she only put into Social Security a few years, very early on. But she was the first monthly benefit. However, one of the points to be made is that there were benefits paid prior to, if you ask, who is the first individual to ever receive a Social Security benefit? It's Ernest Ackerman. Ernest Ackerman was a streetcar motorman who actually retired one day after the Social Security program began. And so he was paid all of the amount on which he had paid Social Security taxes, 17 cents. Ernest, if he had waited a few years to retire, would have received a monthly benefit for a long time. So I'm not sure if Ernest ever regretted that, but I thought 17 cents was the munificent sum he walked off with.
At that time, they probably said, oh, it'll never last. It won't stick.
Well, you're probably right. I mean, think about it. Social Security will celebrate its 82nd year on August the 14th, 2017. So I am sure 82 years ago when it started, no one saw this.
And it's here to stay, knock wood. And if we want more information, of course, the place to go, the website, right? Everything we talked about?
Yes, www.socialsecurity.gov. Again, some people do ssa.gov, but the really important point is go to the website. If, on the other hand, someone doesn't have access to the website, you can call our 1-800 number, 772-1213. That's our teleservice number. And they get something on the order of 60 to 70 million calls a year. But as I say, not everyone has access to the system. Take advantage of the phone.
And of course, you can go to the public library and ask somebody to look up that number for you and write it down if you didn't get it. But the number is 1-800-772-1213. 1213 772-1213 is its phone number. But of course, socialsecurity.gov, the place to go again for everything that we have discussed today, including the most up-to-date information about baby names, and of course to set yourself on a route towards getting the benefits that you have earned. You want to go to socialsecurity.gov. That is the place where you can set up your My Social Security account, socialsecurity.gov. Thank you very much to Edward Lafferty, Public Affairs Specialist with the Social Security Administration. Thank you for coming in.
And thank you.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Philadelphia Focus.